Well, good morning. Yeah. Let's thank Andrew Summers for the, yeah. Many of you have asked when Dave Talbot retires later this year, and if you haven't heard about that, we're gonna share a little more about that later. But many of you have asked, is there anyone that could possibly...
I'm Nathan and Lindsay Knowles. I'm a major in the United States Marine Corps, and we refer...
I'm going to try to make that look like that was supposed to happen. As I was saying, a lot of you have asked, who in the world could possibly step in and take Dave's shoes? No one. But Andrew's going to try, right, Andrew? All right, we're glad you're back. You know, I want to read just a little something as the rest of the folks are wander in here. We have a little tradition on the advancement team, on all our team meetings. I'll read a little devotional. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I thought it would be good to start out with part of it. This is a devotional my mother and father-in-law gave me a number of years ago, Chris Tigreen, and it's called the 1 Year at His Feet Devotional. He's had a couple editions. This is, I believe, one of his early ones. But it's got for each day. This is May 13th, as we all know. And the verse is Matthew 14:31. It says, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" If our ears are truly open to Jesus, we will probably hear such a rebuke daily. It's a gentle rebuke coming from one who understands our frailties better than we understand them ourselves. But it's a firm reminder that the life that we live is to be radically different from dependence on our human senses and reasoning that most of the world understands. Amen? Amen. There's a lot more to that, but as I read that in its entirety this morning, I thought about last night, the things that we saw, how God's at work, and the things you're going to hear today, and it's really, really true. So let's open up in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, thank you for bringing us back together here. Thank you for a great evening last night. Lord, thank you for revealing to us in so many ways how you're at work here at Mount Hermon. And Lord, we look forward to what you'll be sharing with us today through the speakers, and pray that we will just continue to be encouraged and further understand the amazing work that you do here year-round, touching and transforming lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So a little reminder. Last night, Carrie shared that we really have three chapters this weekend, or actually last night and today, from our Go theme. Last night was base camp, and this morning, as we start out in a few minutes, will be really framed around those who have been transformed here and then gone out. And after we have our mid-morning break and we come back, the final chapter is where we are today and where we will be going. So today is May the 13th. And I don't know whether you know this or not, May 13th is the 133rd day of the year. That means there's 232 days remaining. And you may not know that on this date in 1938, Louis Armstrong recorded a very familiar song, "When the Saints Go Marching In." Did you know that? I didn't either. In 1967, those of you that are baseball fans might remember that Mickey Mantle hit his 500th home run. A couple people fairly famous have been born today. Joe Louis, who has the world record for 12 consecutive years as the heavyweight champion of the world, born today in 1914. Anybody ever see Joe Louis fight in this room? Anybody? Couple? Yeah? In 1950, Stevie Wonder was born on this day. In 1961, one of our all-time heroes, Dennis Rodman, was born. In 1978, Barry Zito was born. And in 1987, my eldest son, Ross Loofbro, was born. Yeah. Yeah. So that means that today is his 30th birthday. And so for those of you as parents that have seen your children all of a sudden become adults and turn 30, it's an amazing day. And what's really amazing for me, and I'm kind of taking advantage of this, Ross is here today. So Ross, I want you to stand up. You're in the back there somewhere. Stand up, Ross. All right. Oh, there you are. So, Ross, I want to tell you this. I'm very proud of you, of the man that you've become. I'm grateful that you love Jesus and have committed your life to him. And I'm thankful that you honor, serve, and love your beautiful wife, Erin. Very proud of you. Happy birthday, Ross. All right. So, many of you know that we have an amazing program started back in 2008. It's our military campership program, which has an incredible impact into the community of those men and women who bravely serve to protect our freedoms here in this country. And in 2008, we had maybe 8 to 10 families that were here. This year, we anticipate having 40 families come under the military campership program. Yeah. Those families come. It's a completely covered campership. It's one, or maybe in some cases both spouses, but usually one that is either actively deployed, very soon to go on a deployment, or just recently have come back. And if any of you have the opportunity and the honor to know folks that are serving, you know the challenges that puts on a family and kids and relationships. And no better place to be ministered to than here at Mount Hermon. So we wanted to introduce you to a couple that's had that impact, and we can do that through video. We're going to show this to you. This is Nathan and Lindsay. They actually were just a brief teaser there a moment ago. And they're going to come back in their full glory. We're grateful for them. They live on the East Coast, and they did this video themselves, and our creative services team amazingly took this homemade video and cleaned it up and just made it so it's awesome, and we hope you'll enjoy it. So let's take a look at this.
Hi, we're Nathan and Lindsay Knowles. I'm a major in the United States Marine Corps, and we were first introduced to Mount Hermon in 2014.
We were invited by another military family who was attending the first session that summer and kept inviting us to come, and I just didn't think that we were going to be able to with taking leave and all of that goes into us.
She didn't think that I would want to go, and she didn't think that I would get the time off.
I told him that there was a military campership program and that we were not going to have to pay for anything. He was very quickly going to be deploying again, so I really felt like it was something that was important for our family to try to get to.
And so when the idea was brought up, you know, the automatic response was no, I'm busy. But when the campership idea was brought up, when I found out that it was paid for and that there was no commitment from us financially, I had no more objections. And so the reality is, had it not been for the campership program and all the generous people that give so lovingly, we wouldn't have gone.
To have a place where we could come together, we're sort of separated from the world, not worrying about cell phones, we really get a chance to reconnect as a family. As a military family, that is something that is very, very precious to us. Mount Hermon has become a very special, special place for us. The kids come home every summer, and all of a sudden all the neighborhood kids are singing all their camp songs, and they have learned all the games, and the things that they're bringing back from day camp has been really fun to see.
The camp has had a profound impact, not just on us individually, but I think on us as a family. We've spent the past year at the Naval War College, and as a part of the program here at the Naval War College, we were embedded with countries from all over the world, so we're a part of the international program, which is a separate community within the War College. And there's one family in particular that just kept being put in our path. It was a Muslim family from Turkey. And as the year started, they were really in quite a turmoil, wrestling with all the chaos that was going on back home. Before long, I realized that they weren't going to be able to return home. All of our questions about why we were living in the house that we are living in, we had the space for them, and they actually spent until this past 2 weeks living with us. The amazing thing with all that is that this family, who came from a predominantly Muslim background, went to church with us, was exposed multiple times to the gospel, not just through us, but really through the kids and seeing their interaction with their kids, to the point that he was reading the Bible and carried it with him when he left. So I have no doubt that the campership that started, that brought us to Mount Hermon in 2014 and that brought us back, has undoubtedly impacted a family that we never would have seen, never would have crossed paths with. I think we really want to say thanks to all of you and to Mount Hermon for just the unbelievable generosity. I could sit here for probably 30 minutes and name names on the staff and the impact that each of you have had on us. But I think it's safe to say that we love you guys and are eternally thankful for the impact that you've had on us, for the generosity and really for the impact that you have had and continue to have on our kids. So thank you, and hopefully we see you this summer.
Well, good morning. My name is Andrew Summers, and I have the privilege and pleasure of working here at Mount Hermon with the advancement team. I'm so excited to be with you this morning, and I am so excited to be with two of my best friends in the whole world. This is Katie and Cody Rogers. Me and Cody and Katie were interns together at Mount Hermon 5 years ago, 6 years ago. We're getting older, and it's all a blur. That's a real good-looking group of people right there, you know? I see a few familiar faces. But as we were thinking a few months ago about this theme of go and the Lord's command to us to go into all the world and make disciples, we're thinking who would be wonderful people to share and who have an amazing story and testimony of exactly that in their lives. And some of the first people that came to mind for us were Cody and Katie, who just have an incredible story of coming to Mount Hermon and meeting at Mount Hermon and the Lord working in their lives here and then sending them out into the world. So I'm just going to ask them a few questions and they're going to share their story with us, and it's going to be great. So would you guys share with us a little bit about how you first heard of Mount Hermon and got to Mount Hermon?
Yeah, of course. First of all, we just want to say how happy and how grateful we are to be here. Mount Hermon is such a special place in just our lives, and so we're thrilled to be here and share a little bit, so thank you for this opportunity. I came to Mount Hermon from just a connection through college. I went to Azusa Pacific University, had some friends who had been working here at Mount Hermon, and after I graduated, I reconnected with those friends and then was able to start working for the Adventure and Recreation Department here at Mount Hermon. And that led me to kind of be introduced to the internship program, and I was able to apply and come on board through the internship. So it was a pretty cool connection, yeah.
So I went to school at Ohio State, so I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
And
thank you. And so I studied graphic design in school, and after college I worked for about a year, and I was just feeling like kind of this pull to find a new place and a new, to kind of get out of where I had been. And so my mother actually found this internship at this cool camp in Santa Cruz in this beautiful place and kind of shared it with me. My brother and sister-in-law actually also applied for the internship. They did not get it.
It's a very rigorous application process. Not everyone gets in.
But I did. So I just packed up my stuff and drove across the country, didn't know anybody, and just kind of showed up on check-in day. So.
Well, thank you, Mom. Yeah. It's in honor of Mother's Day. Everyone be looking for internships for your kids and grandkids. It works. Could you guys tell us a little bit about your experience while you were here at Mount Hermon and in the intern program and, you know, getting to hang out with me all year, which was obviously really fun?
Yeah, so as many of you may know, the internship program is designed to have personal, professional, and spiritual development. So we were able to, 16 of us all together, 8 guys, 8 girls, got to be a part of this intentional community where every day for the year we're serving here at Mount Hermon and embedded into the ministry, learning everything that we can and being invested into. We took classes. We learned about our own personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses, how to further grow in the knowledge of Jesus, and how to use that within our own personal ministries as we continue on. So it was a lot of fun. It's a year of kind of some hectic craziness at the same time as some really cool moments. So it was a great like example of what ministry can look like.
And Cody, you were sharing with me a little earlier about what it was like to work at a Christian camp in a Christian environment for the first time. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so besides getting to hang out with Andrew every day.
Which was awesome.
and meeting my wife.
Perhaps more awesome.
Both good. I felt like for me, I had a pretty big change just in like my outlook on life and my career and what I wanted to accomplish. And I had finished school and I was looking at jobs and what's going to be a really great experience and where am I going to make good money and kind of what are these things that I really want to like accomplish for myself. And you know, I got to Mount Hermon, did this 1-year internship, and I think what I learned that I had never seen anywhere else was like people who are here to serve others. And whether it's like, you know, whether you're in adventure and recreation or in program or doing AV, like people are here to serve, and just like seeing people who love Jesus was just a change for me and just a really good example. So that kind of changed my outlook on what I wanted to do when I left here, and besides just finding a place that was gonna provide me with all these things, it was more of like, well, what can I do to serve and how can I use any gifts that I have to help others and to do something for the kingdom.
That's great. I think it's so cool. We talk about lives transformed all the time, and it's usually in the context of campers and guests that come, but it happens for our staff as well. It happens for our interns and for our summer staff and even our full-time staff, that the more time we spend here, the Lord is working on us and transforming us, which is so much fun. So after you guys left the intern program, I know you guys had a fun transition and the Lord preparing you for a time of mission work in South Africa. So could you tell us about that?
Yeah, so Mount Hermon, you know, provided just this foundation for our relationship where we were every day a part of this intentional community that, you know, is everyone's thinking about transforming lives and serving others. So as that being the foundation for us and for our relationship and for our marriage, we started to think about, okay, well, how can we incorporate that into our lives? And how can we use the blessings in our lives to bless others? And so I had previously studied abroad in South Africa in college and had been able to go over and invest in some relationships there. And so Cody had been working at eBay after our internship, and we were afforded a little bit of time where we spent about almost 6 months in South Africa where we were able to volunteer and serve these communities. I had previously gone and I lived within this impoverished township, and I had formerly lived with one of the women from the community and we shared a room. But this
and
time...
That's her on the screen, right?
Yeah, that's Pindile there. And so I had previously lived and shared a room with her, but since Cody and I were going back together, Pindile was not sharing a room with us this time. So
sorry, Pindile.
Yeah.
So we went over to South Africa and broke it up into two parts. In the first, just over a month, we spent in Pietermaritzburg, which is where Katie had been before. And we really just hung out in a little township called Honeyville. And it's just extreme poverty. And there was, there's a lot of AIDS, there's a lot of unemployment, there's a lot of alcoholism. And one of the big things that this ministry did was, besides hanging out with people and putting on church and distributing food, was taking them to and from clinic. For HIV, it's a really strict schedule on when you need to get medicine, and some of these people didn't have transportation or just the ability to get to the clinic to get their medicine on time. So one of the things we would do is just go around and pick them up and just hang out with them and then, you know, give them a ride to the clinic and then take them back home and then just, you know, playing with kids and getting to know people. And so that was kind of the big thing that we did there while we were there. And then the other thing that we did was I got to help kind of the organization. So I redid their website for them and shot some videos for them just to help them kind of fundraise and get support from people back here too. So.
Yeah, the ministry there was called Walk in the Light, and they talked about they would do the small things and allow God to do the big things. So we got to partner with them in those small things and contribute little bits, where then we were able to see God work in tremendous ways. So it was just huge for us. After our month in Honeyville, we then went to a new organization, also a nonprofit Christian organization. It was called Aleph. Some of these photos that you're seeing now are from that organization. It was on the coast in Jeffreys Bay, and it's almost like a small town Santa Cruz. So it was a familiar kind of feel for us. But this organization, Aleph, they took the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph. It means the foundation, and their goal is to provide restoration through recreation. And so it kind of partnered with my heart, having been in adventure and recreation. And their goal was through surfing to introduce the gospel and life skills to these street kids. We had a lot of really cool moments, a lot of really hard, heavy-hearted moments while we were there, just being in the midst of children who did not have families, who came from just growing up in the streets. The housing that they were in was just really hard to see for us. But at the same time, some of these kids would have these moments of joy, and in these most simplistic ways, they were full of just, you know, living for Jesus, who they found out about and who they started to learn about through this organization that used surfing as kind of the way to reach them. So it was a really awesome opportunity for us. I know Cody was going to share one of the stories of one of the kids we got to meet.
Yeah, so besides surfing and teaching life skills and English and helping them with homework and stuff, we learned it was just like kind of building relationships with these kids. And some of the little ones, it took time. You know, we show up being like just very new. And one kid in particular, his name was Bossy. And it was a nickname, but it very much matched who he was. And he was probably 8, the cutest little dude, and he just kind of had this attitude about him, and just kind of like tough and mean, and he'd like, you know, you'd say something, he'd kind of give you like a flex, like, who you talking to, you know? And so he would have this attitude, and we just like, as we got to know him, we just kind of like started to love on him, and we just like had this thing where we'd like go hug him. It was like his punishment too. So he would, you know, he'd have this attitude, or he'd talk back, and we'd be like, Bossy, you need a hug, don't you? Come here. And we'd like just grab him and like hug him real tight. And, you know, we were there for just over 3 months or so, and by the end, you could tell that he loved being hugged. Like, he's like kind of act up, and then be like, okay, you gotta hug me now. So that's just like one of our, he's like kind of this hard looking little dude. And then he just like, he needed somebody to hug on him. So we just loved, we loved building relationships with those kids and then kind of breaking down some of those walls that they had and just being able to be there and get to know them.
That's great. Part of what I love so much about your story is when we think about the Great Commission and think about going into the world, it doesn't just mean going to be a church planter. It can mean going to make a website or videos for a nonprofit or using your love for recreation and relationship building. And so I think you guys have exemplified so well using the Lord's gifts that he's given you to go into your world and to make a difference. So I just love that. Would you guys tell us, just as we close, about the journey you've been on for the last year or so as you guys have been back and where the Lord has taken you and where he is taking you?
Yeah, so after South Africa, about 5 or 6 months, we came back up to San Jose area. I worked at eBay a little bit longer, and then transitioned from there down to Santa Barbara for just over 2 years. And so I was just working at a kind of a startup, a small tech company, with about a dozen guys, a lot of them from Westmont, so just a really cool company. And then Katie also found a job down there working at Girls Incorporated.
Yeah, Girls Inc. was a nonprofit organization. It's international. It works with girls ages, you know, pre-kindergarten for all the way through high school. And I was able to direct a center for after-school programming and had about 250 girls and families that I got to invest into. The mission at that organization was to inspire girls to be strong, smart, and bold. So really great opportunity for me to continue kind of slowly implementing my heart for Jesus into this secular nonprofit, and it was just an awesome experience for sure.
So So we were both working down there, and then in the end of 2015, we got pregnant with our first little boy, and so we carried our son Isaiah for 36 weeks. And then sadly and unexpectedly, his heart stopped beating. And that was hard.
And one thing that we wanted to mention is that for us, Mount Hermon has not just been a place of a one-year internship program that we felt like our lives were transformed in that time, but there has been lifelong relationships that we've built through this place, and the support that we received after losing our son was more than we could speak to. We were able to come, and Andrew and friends and everyone here at Mount Hermon supported us and said, come spend some time with us. And we were able to come back to this place and just continue processing and grieving, and had just this family of people here with us who have continued to just love on us and continue to walk with us through this journey. So it's been just an immense thing within our lives.
And then I know that you guys are currently on the journey of adoption right now, which is so exciting. So would you share with us where you are in that journey?
Yeah, so since Santa Barbara, as we continued processing our loss and continuing on our grief journey, it led us up to Bend, Oregon. This beautiful photo here is in Bend. We've been there for about 8 months now, and at the beginning of the year, we had always talked about, you know, continuing our ministry through our marriage and wanting to potentially adopt. Our time in South Africa had influenced our hearts for that desire as well. And so at the beginning of the year, as we were continuing, we thought to ourselves, well, what is keeping us from adopting now? And we didn't really have any reason not to. So we continued to step towards adoption, and we just this past week got our final clearance where we are ready to adopt and present. So we're just waiting to be matched, and that's kind of the place where we're at now. So excited for that.
I know it's been a big journey of home visits and applications and fundraising to help defray some of the costs, and it's been so much fun to see you guys go through that, and we are so excited for what we know the Lord has for you in the future and for your family. Well, thank you guys so much for being with us and sharing your story. They're going to be around a little bit during the refreshment break if you want to talk to them about any part of their journey that they have been on, but would you help me in thanking them for being here with us?
Good morning. It's a very touching time. Friends that we love dearly, thank you for sharing with us this morning. It was just 1 month ago that I was standing in China with the Rombergers. It was a trip, an amazing journey, a part of this plan God has Mount Hermon on for the past 5 years. We were there to introduce the Rombergers to Singing Deer Lodge, the camp conference center that we've been teaming up with. As far as anyone can tell, it's the first Christian camp conference center in all of China. And then there we were in the midst of these great moments of God at work in that country. It's my fourth trip there since 2012. And each year that I was there, something special happens. A moment where God says, hey, stop for a second and look what I'm doing here. This trip, there were many moments, but one in particular, I was standing in the center of the country, Xi'an, in one of the most ancient cities that they have. It dates back to 11th century BC. And I'm in a hotel, and I pick up a Bible. And I stood there, and I thought, Lord, what are you up to? Because it wasn't that long ago that this country was the most secular in the world. And I find out that the owner of the hotel, who is a board member of the conference center here near Beijing, just got permission from the very same communist, atheist government to put these Bibles in his hotel. The same government that monitors and threatens to shut this down anytime it gets to be too religious. So I stand there and I say, God, what are you up to? Because only you could do this. And you just see his face smiling and just saying, oh, you haven't seen anything yet. One of our dear friends there, she's a leader in this, a very courageous leader, a Chinese national. She put it this way. She said, the harvest is so great right now in my country that the fruit is falling on our heads and into our hands. And so in response to that, they've set up the center and other places, but this is the key one, to train young Christians to take the gospel, what they've learned, this good news, all throughout China and into other lands like Tibet and Nepal and Kyrgyzstan. And we get to spend time with young people in their 20s, some of them brand new Christians, who have been their lives so transformed that they just stopped life and said, I need to tell this story to other people. And so I'm going to learn Russian, and I'm going to go to Kyrgyzstan, and I'm going to live among the people and share it with them. How did Mount Hermon get involved in that? What is God up to? The simple answer is that he called us to go, and we did. In 2011, we were paid a visit by the leadership of this new conference center. They have no history, no background in running camps or conferences, and they came to the U.S., and they started here with a visit at Mount Hermon. And when they shared their vision, Roger Williams' heart just leapt with joy and excitement because he had a real vision and passion for international camp ministry. So we put plans together right away to go and visit. And then it wasn't but a few months later that Roger learned about his cancer and had to start treatment immediately. I paid him a visit in the hospital in Santa Cruz, just sitting by his bed, talking, laughing. And he says, hey, what about China? What's God put on your heart about that? And I said, well, I thought we were going, you and I. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I still feel strong that we should go. Mount Hermon should go. And he just, and that big Roger smile said, that's what's been on my heart too. In his bed, in the hospital, said, you got to go. And so that's what we did. We put a small delegation, two Mount Hermon staff and two friends of this ministry who are Chinese, who speak Mandarin. That turned out to be good. And we traveled over there in 2012 and saw this beautiful facility, met the amazing people, caught their heart, started connecting the dots, and then we knew right away that there was a way that we could help. They asked the question, how do we bring the gospel? How do we share God's love, his principles, his heart with people in a way that won't trigger the government to shut us down? And then we knew the right people right away. Susie Clark with our outdoor science schools, and Nate Pfeffercorn, who you heard from last night with Adventures. They were the right people. So we returned in 2013, and then they just went right to work on planning out what would be the very first outdoor science school led by Christians in China. And that was in 2013, those plans began. In 2014, Nate, his wife Allison, and myself went back because we had to get ready for Susie's crew coming that summer. We went in the spring of 14 to build an adventure course, and because we had to get that done, because Susie's team was coming in a few months, and all 3 weeks had already sold out for that. There's no better person to share with you what God is doing through outdoor science programs in China than Susie. It's an amazing. We just together, like, I think we should go, and then here we are. And
it's here we are.
Unbelievable. Tell us what God's doing.
Yes. So, good thing we coordinated our outfits today.
Very sharp.
That's.
Wait a second. We did. I didn't know that passed. That's great. That's fun.
So, upon that first visit that they had there at in China. And then I went in return, then came home and spent the next 6 months writing curriculum for us to be able to use in China. So transforming what we do here to fit the space and the area and the needs of Chinese kids from first through sixth grade. And that was no small undertaking, though very exciting and very interesting. And lots of good learning that took place in the midst of all of that. So our first summer, we implemented what we had planned, and with, however, lots of adaptations as we, you know, went through the weeks. And again, learned so many cultural things of, oh, maybe next time we'll do that a little bit differently. But just experienced the place and the people. Our staff was trained here, of course, to begin that process. And probably our first trip was definitely the biggest learning curve. Then there were four staff I was able to take, along with myself and my family, our first year. The second summer then, I was able to take six staff, and just my husband and I went along. And then that was probably the hardest year, the second year, with just lots of different challenges. And language, of course, is a major, you know, piece to overcome. Even when in speaking English, their accents are significant as well for us to understand. One wonderful gal introduced herself, and it seemed as though she said her name was Animal. And the whole room, we were discussing, you know, what did she say her name was? And it came back to her, and she very graciously, no, my name is not Animal. My name is Eleanor. It was just really neat. And the third summer, we were able to take eight staff, and just myself, and then my assistant director went as well. And the staff at Singing Deer chose a camp director, and his name is Troy. And he is a fabulous young man who we had known. This is Troy here. And he helped us implement that third year, and the third year was the charm. Was really smooth. Communication was fantastic. Just a really great shared learning and growing and experience in that sense. So this summer, which will be the fourth summer for us doing this, nine staff are going, and I am not going. So three of them are team leaders, and they are prepared to be able to implement and run camp without me, with their Chinese director to help support them. This was our staff who attended last year. And how do we share the gospel? Well, it starts here, right? With those staff people who come here similar to an intern program where we have an intentional community within the outdoor science staff. We have spiritual and leadership growth that we participate in throughout the year, as well as learning how to be teachers, learning how to be experiential educators, so that we can then go to China after that year of training and be able to implement the program. And with that, we work with about 30 young adult Chinese folks who are our translators and the counselors for the students. And they are all young baby believers and are just sponges to soak up relationships that we get to build with them and soak up new understandings of Jesus and of God and how that is becoming an integrated full part of their lives. And for the summer, we have about 150 kids that attend that get to go through the really great experience. So we intend on, of course, continuing to support them and train. They really, really enjoy the and find great value in Western education experiences and us helping them learn how to do that and become experts themselves. And with our program, of course, the gospel is shared intimately through the counselors' conversations they have with the students. Our curriculum has journal questions, and the journal questions go along with the class and with the theme of the camp. And with that, they specifically engage scripture verses and have conversations with the kids through us and through the young adults that are there. So all of the kids that come are touched by the love of Jesus and take that back to their homes and their families. And it is a really significant and really exciting way for us to partner and take Mount Hermon to China.
That story, those pictures never cease to amaze me because it's so much bigger than what we ever imagined. And it wasn't our plan. We were just going and following God's lead in that. There's a verse, a passage in 3 John that has really spoken to our hearts in the way of hospitality here at Mount Hermon. And it fits this ministry so well, what God's doing there. And I thought it'd be fitting if I went ahead and read that to you right out of this Chinese Bible. And what? You guys, come on. Okay, so, but I do have it up here. I know it's in here. But John is encouraging a man who's taking care of Christians along their journey. And he says, you know, when you take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and you provide for them along their journey, you make the faith visible. They've set out under the name of God, and they've got no help from unbelievers. So everything that you do to come alongside and serve them, you then become their companions in spreading the truth. And that's a powerful, powerful thing to take in, because what we're doing there, coming alongside and helping with what God's given us over 110 years to a brand new ministry and helping them get started, now we become their companions in spreading the truth in a country that some believe by 2025 will be the most Christian nation in the world, with 1.3 billion people there. Mm-hmm. We, in this, is you. Mount Hermon is a part of this. This is happening because of your support, your love for this place, your prayers. Thank you.
Good morning. In the spring of 1996, I was getting ready to graduate from high school, and a good friend stopped me in the hallway and said, "Do you want to go with me to Mississippi to work at a summer camp?" And at that moment, I merely laughed and thought, why would anyone want to go to Mississippi in the summer and work outside? So I went home and I thought about it, and in about a week, I called and requested that they send me a paper application in the mail, if you can remember those days. I went to camp and I had a life-altering experience. I had grown up the son of a pastor, and for the first time in my own personal life, I felt my very own faith in motion. I felt used by God. Leaders at camp kept telling us to focus on our campers and to make sure their experiences were great and that our actions that we were doing were having an impact on campers. And as the story goes, the impact that really happened was to me. God used camp to change my life. I went on to spend 5 summers as a counselor with kids aged 7 to 12. I was on stage singing silly songs and lifeguarding kids as they swim and dressing up in all sorts of ridiculous outfits and performing skits all for the sake of summer and that those campers would have fun and know Jesus. Camp influenced me to become a teacher and keep working with kids of all ages and abilities. All the while, I kept getting to go back to camp. As my summers were still free, I moved up the chain of command as the years went by and into leadership roles where my campers were no longer in the cabin, but directing the staff who were in the cabins with the kids. I kept teaching and I kept doing summer camp. Camp was a refuge. Camp was safe. Camp allowed me to heal from scars of life throughout the rest of the year, and I got to go home refreshed. In 2008, I felt God call me to go and seek out camping full time. I had all these summers under my belt as a camp counselor on a stage and eventually a staff leader, but in order to work full-time in camping, they encouraged you to get experience working year-round with group rentals. Summer camp doesn't happen all year-round, and I was told I needed more experience in that way. I accepted a job at Forest Home Camps in Southern California, and I packed my car and I went. I was going to get my experience, and then I was going to go get that job in program-themed camping and lead a camp. I had it all figured out. And that's when God does what he so often does, and he says, actually, no. What a beautiful gift the Lord had waiting for me in working with guest groups. Here I was working with churches and groups who wanted to come to camp and experience a program they created within their own groups and churches. They wanted to be together. They wanted to worship Jesus. They wanted to cook s'mores. They wanted to be outside, and it had nothing to do with summer. My life changed again. God taught me about how all the different kinds of campers there are out there and how they don't look like what I thought they did. Again, I was in a refuge. I was in the camp of guest groups doing ministry. In 2010, I went back home to the Midwest to help my dad and my family deal with my mother, who was suffering and dying from Alzheimer's. God told me to go. I stepped out of the refuge of camp, and I stepped back into teaching, and I went into the fire of a very real world. Many long years went by, and I said a temporary goodbye to my mom in 2012. God used that fire to refine me, to refine my family, and to refine my love for him. After that fire had smoldered, in 2014, I accepted a position here at Mount Hermon, working in the reservation and event services department with our guest groups. It was time for me to go again. When I stepped onto these grounds, once again, I found the sweet taste of refuge. However, this refuge was different. Everything looked different. Camp for me looked different. My eyes changed. My campers changed. I share this story because I want you to know that God still uses campers to this day to change my life. In my position here as a coordinator at Mount Hermon, I get the distinct honor of working with groups who rent our facility to put on retreats throughout the year. I work directly with a guest group leader to help them start to finish of putting on an event while they stay with us. We work on details. We work on where people are going to sleep. We work on how we're going to set up the meeting room. We work on the food setup and if we're going to have barbecue or if we're going to have s'mores or if we're going to have both. We spend many hours communicating, laughing, sometimes crying, and planning to get these events off the ground. We work on the details to prepare a place for them to be. A fellow coordinator of mine once told me that the beauty of this job is that we get to set the table for these groups. We work to make these guest group leaders look like heroes to their people by having a wonderful event planned. We get all of the details ready and in place, and then we simply get out of the way and let God work directly in that group while they're here. I work with a group that comes over Thanksgiving for 5 days called Chinese Families for Christ, and it's their family vacation camp. They've been coming for the past 5 years and bring over 600 people over the Thanksgiving holiday. Their goal is to bring Christians and non-Christians alike from the Chinese culture to a conference to have them work on their marriages and their family relations in the vision of real, true biblical love. In that culture today, they still don't necessarily marry for love. They come here to have a conference about what it really means to love each other from the view of Jesus and to reconnect as families. I work with a group called California State Youth Conference. Over Easter weekend for the past decade, over 450 African American youth have come here from all over the state of California to be a part of a leadership program within their own churches. They come here to play, grow, fellowship, and learn what it means to lead in their own community at home with Jesus as their focus. I work with a small group of women from Shiloh Baptist Church out of Sacramento who have been coming to Mount Hermon for their women's retreat for over 45 years. I work with a large church out of Palo Alto whose average age in the church is 35. They have only been a church since 2011 and already have over 800 members at two sites. They started coming to Mount Hermon and having their own family camp here a weekend in May. Just last weekend, they brought over 500 people for their family camp. They told me that their choice to do their family camp at Mount Hermon has been monumental in their growth as a church. They've chosen to make it a priority in their yearly calendar because they can't find any other experience where their people come away more enriched as a community. Finally, over the past few years, I've had the privilege of working with a very well-known Christian humanitarian aid organization called World Vision International. If you're unfamiliar with World Vision, they're a Christian relief and development organization who's assisting over 70 million people each year in its quest to end poverty, to fight hunger, and to transform lives. World Vision has been using Mount Hermon as a site for one of their international conferences called GLOW, which stands for Global Leaders Organization. World Vision employees who lead their divisions in their respective countries, they get to come here and meet on site and discuss business practice and train, and then they go and return to their homes better equipped to lead their ministry. Over the past few years, I hosted another division of World Vision in their financial leadership program. I started working with their leader, Tracy. She is the Director of Finance and Learning Development for World Vision. In the last 2 years, Tracy and I have put together over 7 conferences for World Vision here at Mount Hermon. She's become more than just another group leader, as we email almost every 2 weeks about business and our travel and our sports teams and how they're doing, our love for Starbucks, and just a life check-in every once in a while. Tracy is more than work for me, as she's become like family. That's the beauty of camp and the beauty of Mount Hermon, is that God is using this place all year long to equip people to go. People from all over the world are coming to Mount Hermon to learn and to be filled and to be transformed by the Holy Spirit. So, from World Vision, I'd like to introduce to you not only my camper, but my friend, Tracy.
As Zach said, my name is Tracy Stuvey. I am with World Vision. I'm responsible for finance, learning, and development for the organization. That means that I have access to about 2,500 of the 42,000 employees that World Vision has around the world. We work in 100 different countries, and as Zach said, our mission is to alleviate poverty and to increase or improve the lives of children around the world. I've been coming here for about 6 years now, 5 or 6 years, and I can't actually remember how it is that I came here, just that I was invited to attend a conference where I didn't have to be the leader, I didn't have to be the host, but I was actually a participant. And I remember sitting in that conference thinking, this is a really cool place. God is at work here. It's beautiful. And I want to come back. I want to do something here with my people, with the groups that I'm responsible to lead and facilitate. And so a year or so later, we started bringing groups of people here. I think Zach mentioned the GLOW team came here for a meeting. It's about 30 people from around the world. In all areas of our ministry. And I came with that group and had a fabulous experience. And then when I became a director for my own department in finance, and I came into the role and the responsibility of the finance leadership organization, I wanted to come back. And so we've started bringing in groups of people in a program that I call Iron Manager. It is equipping our finance managers who come with great skills and great expertise in finance who don't necessarily know how to be managers. You all know people who have been promoted because they're competent. Competency doesn't necessarily make you a manager. And so I work on building their skills and their capacity in management. One of the reasons that I love this place is that a focus of World Vision's management skill is learning how to be a spiritual leader, learning how to be a servant leader. And we focus an entire day on this. It's the first day of our curriculum is really focused on building yourself as a spiritual leader. And what better place, what better venue to focus on that? Oh, good grief. I didn't know y'all had pictures. This was from one of the team activities that we did with your staff here. It was great. But what better place to focus on building your own spiritual self than a beautiful venue where God is present? You look at the trees and they're hundreds of years old. You know, that is God. That is God's presence. My people come here, and as I was sharing at dinner the other night, and I'm going off script yet again, that'll make y'all happy. Some of my people come here and they're broken because they work in really difficult places. They work in places like the Congo. They work in places like Sudan and Somalia. They've worked in places in Indonesia where they suffered from the tsunami a few years ago. They work in very, very difficult and challenging environments. And they come here and they're broken, but they're committed to the ministry of World Vision. And they walk away from here restored. Now I'm going to start crying, Zach. That to me is really important. That is really special. We laugh about the fact that wireless is sketchy here. And I try to spin that in a really positive light to say it's a gift that you come here and you are forced to disconnect, that you can't be on Facebook and you can't be working. You can't be accessing all of the World Vision programs that you have to use. It's a gift. I don't necessarily always like that gift, but it's still a gift. Because one of the things that I found is that it forces the people I bring here to talk to each other instead of talk to their computers. I find that they, just like this, they engage in conversations with one another. They build relationships. And when they go away from this place, those relationships go with them. The relationship we've built with Zach and with some of the other staff here, go with them. I traveled to South Africa recently for a conference, and one of the ladies that was in, actually that lady right there in the foreground of that picture, said to me, "I remember that place. I remember that place. My soul was filled in that place. When can I come back? When are you going to have some of your other programs in that place? I want to come back." I don't remember what else I was going to talk about. My notes don't matter at this point. But I just want to encourage you that what you are supporting here is touching the lives of people that come here as part of groups. They're part of a global outreach that you have. And yep, there we are again. You might not even know the fact that, you know, I've got India, I've got Mongolia, I've got Latin America, I have the US, I have Kenya, I have Sudan, I have Myanmar in that group. People that are in that photo have gone away from here and they've taken Mount Hermon with them in their hearts. They remember not just the training that I did in a conference room, but the essence of this place and the fact that God is moving here. So I thank you for that. You're supporting something that touches lives around the world in ways that I can't even explain or multiply. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tracy. You know, you would think that we work here, those of us on staff, we know all this stuff. I tell you, this is equally as impactful for me sitting there listening to all of the, as it is for you. Maybe more so, you know, because I feel so privileged to be able to serve on this staff. Sorry. Anyway, we're going to prepare to take a little refreshment break. But before that, I'm going to give you a little housekeeping at the end. But three things came to me as I was sitting here that I wanted to share with you. First off was, the really important thing is, I know my hair has changed, and I've gotten more comments from people. I am Carrie Phibbs, and I am the same person that I am not in the witness protection program. I did this of my own accord. I got it cut, I'm growing out my bangs, and I just flat ironed it. It's still curly, it'll be curly tomorrow, okay? So that takes care of that for now. I had no idea this would happen. And another thing, super cool, when Zach was talking about going to Forest Home and working at Forest Home, you know, there's just this beautiful relationship we have with other Christian camps, our friends and counterparts that go into this ministry. And right now, at this event, there's two women, Denise and Diane, many of you have met them, who are here from Forest Home, learning about what we do and our associates program, because they wanted to see why we have this love affair with all of you beautiful people. So Tracy and Denise, real quickly, just stand up. I think they're right in the, where are you? There they are, yeah. So welcome. We're so glad to have them. And that was super cool. I didn't know that. See, it's just all these great stories. And thirdly, I'm going out on a limb here. I do not have air cover, so give me air cover. I'm sure many of you were incredibly touched by Katie and Cody's story. I had the privilege of getting to coordinate their wedding. Dave Talbot got to marry, perform the ceremony. So they are dear to us. They are in the very final stages of fundraising. They have no idea I'm going to say this, but if you go to Facebook, if you look up Cody and Katie Rogers, if you have been touched by them and you have the resources or are compelled in any way to help them reach their final goal to bring that baby home, go to Facebook, Cody and Katie Rogers, and you will find their story. Okay, that's that. And now, we're going to take a little break. A couple of things. One, for the last several years, we've done a group shot out here. We decided, with the great encouragement of Murphy, it would be insane trying to do this whole group, because it's the largest group we have. So we're not going to do the group photo. You just get to go directly to refreshments and fellowship. We will have lots of great pictures on the webpage for our AIM celebration 2017, so just check that out. There'll be action shots. And then just a reminder that after lunch today at 1:30, we are going to be dedicating the reservation, APC, all that building is now officially the Williams Welcome Center. So we're going to be doing a dedication over there at 1:30. We'd love for you all to be a part of that. Mike will be leading us in that. It won't be long, 15, 20 minutes, but we would just encourage you to become a part of that. So here's the dealio. It is 10:06, so you're even out early. We are going to start at 10:45, and trust me, the thing that we're starting off off with, you will not want to miss. So ask Siri to set your timer for 30 minutes from now, and you'll be reminded. Dave Talbot will be playing some music. You hear that, come on back and join us at 10:45. All righty? Thank you.